Evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
This is Ash Riot.
Drinking non-alcoholic beer and coming to you from a home, maybe near, maybe not so near you.
I just had a very, very, very delicious croissant with tomato on it.
And cheese. And now we're drinking non-alcoholic beers. As it has been very, very hot here in Vancouver, British Columbia, and we hear from our wonderful host and engineer, Don Newsom, that it's also extremely hot where he is.
He's cool.
No, he's hot.
Even though it's hot, he's cool.
He's hot, he's cool, we're hot. It's takes a little bit of your energy talking about that, you know, Stephen, getting ready for the show. It's been a tough couple days for us. We worked all day yesterday. Long day.
12 hours.
And, you know, we had a really great day hanging out with a friend and going to the flea market today. And
shout out to Rhea.
Hi, Rhea. And bought some flowers. And flowers make me happy.
Flowers make her happy.
And some orchids. And orchids make me happy.
Orchids make her happy. I bought one for my mom.
That's right. You are the best daughter in the world.
I know.
Yeah, and you bought me a CD, PJ Harvey.
Yep. I bought her favorite. Well, I have two favorite PJ Harvey albums, but even though Stories from the City is my, like, all-time probably favorite album ever, it's probably the album that, along with Tori Amos' Boys for Pelly, I listen to that a lot. But, Rid of Me by PJ Harvey is probably the most important album to me ever, and I found it at the flea market.
So she got it for me because it was her favorite, and she wanted to share it with me, and you got Rhea a special...
Yeah, I got her Rose Chronicles.
Rose Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. I seriously can't even concentrate because I have so many bites. Last night when we were working, they left all the windows open, the doors...
No screens,
and the mosquitoes, like, I could
feel
them.
Out in the middle of nowhere where the eagles hang out.
And I was feeling them bite me, and then I'd go to itch, and the mosquito would still be stuck in my skin. Like, it was just horrible. Like, that's, you know, the worst feeling to me.
I've never met a person who is more of a delicacy to bugs than you.
That's what it's been like all my life.
Well, you'd got something going on in that blood that they'll even go through... You know, I don't know, polyester to get to you.
They do. They bite me through my clothes. You saw it.
I know.
It's crazy. It's so bad. So my whole legs are just like crazy.
So now everywhere. You're warm and you're scratching.
Yeah.
Not the perfect place to be.
No, I'm not that happy besides for the cold drink.
And the cheese and
tomato
croissant.
Which was just so good. Thank you for making that for me.
You're welcome. We are going to be doing our show that we planned 2 weeks ago now. And the reason why we didn't do it 2 weeks ago, the show was called The Money Honey. And the reason why we last minute ran a rerun is because we last minute decided to go down to Washington State and do some, I don't know, let's call it band research.
La Cucina.
And some Mexican food research, that's right. You know.
We did. We had to go for the Mexican food, like the buffet at La Cucina.
Anybody hanging out in Seattle and
Capitol
like,
Hill.
In like Max Mexican food, La Cucina on Capitol Hill.
My favorite Mexican food, probably besides El Gitano.
In Bellingham, Washington.
See? I know all the American, like Washington, like... Mexican food.
You know all the Americans in Washington?
No.
See how rumors can start?
I know.
Someone can mishear you and just totally change what it is that you said.
We're awesome.
You're awesome.
Do you know...
Travis is awesome.
Here's something before we get started. If any people out there, I don't care who you are or where you're from, if you know anything about MacBook G4s, please call me. Just send me an email or whatever because... I got Cheryl a MacBook from Craigslist, or I guess the G4 PowerBook, for her birthday, way early birthday, because we wanted to both have Macs and we can use them for music and stuff.
Yeah.
But the internet's not working on it. Everything else is great. So if you know anything, please let me know. And because here's the interlude for our show. Here it's coming. Because I paid for it, which, you know, includes money.
That's right. Money. The money, honey.
Yep.
Everything we did today, we bought flowers. That was money, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is at a reduced rate because you go to the flea market and you go at the end of the day and they all want to get rid of their stuff because they don't want to take it back to where they brought it from.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a bouquet of flowers for $3, a beautiful bouquet, orchids for $7.50.
I love how you can just count on lazy people.
Is laziness? I don't know. I do the same thing. Because the thing with retail and with money, and I've been in the retail business in the past as part of my jobs, my many jobs. You could probably check out all my many jobs on our bio at our hollow-gram.com.
Her occupations list is so long.
Either I'm an adventurous person or I just can't, I'm non-committal. You can take it either way. But actually, I think it's more, I've always wanted to do a lot of different things, and so I have. And one of the things about retail, the retail business, is that, of course, you have, you have your supplier, your wholesaler, then it's all a bunch of middlemen. And so by the time it gets to actually selling it at a retail level, you're paying minimum of 100% more than what was originally the cost of it. So they know that too. So a person, perhaps he bought those flowers for $3 a bunch and he decided that he's just going to get his money back.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And I get this beautiful bouquet of Gerbera daisies and gladiolas and carnations. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
And my day is brighter.
I got a phone cord.
And you got a phone cord. Because you had money to buy a phone cord, because the money that you spent on your previous phone cord, unfortunately, didn't last. So it was almost, do you think, a waste of money because your other cord didn't last? Now you had to buy another one, so it's like you had to buy two cords, where you really should have only had to buy one cord.
My satisfaction for the length of this cord is well worth the $5 it cost last time.
Well, it's always great that you can, plug into another room and be playing your phone in the other room. It's so long.
My phone cord is so long. I could, plug it in by my bed and go to the bathroom.
There you go.
Get another hallway.
See, there you go. You like the freedom of having an extra long phone charging cord.
But what are we going to say about the money?
Well, I'd like to start actually with a brief history of money, because one of the things I mentioned is that we would be talking about the spirituality of money, and we'll get into that. But I just sort of wanted, I was just fascinated by money and how money is used on this planet, and that makes me sound like I'm from another planet, doesn't it?
No, sort of. But I don't mind.
Back on my planet, we don't use money. We use sand. But anyway.
That's awesome. I'm going to quote you on Facebook saying
really?
That.
Really? Yeah.
On my planet, we don't use money. We use sand.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote you. There are many something in the sewer
system. There are many pipes
in the sewer system of love. There you go. So we both got some, great wisdom to share with the planet. The planet called Earth. Anyways, originally prehistory, what was used for money or the idea of money was bartering. And, we still use bartering, which is great because bartering
is... I
love bartering too. You could barter, for example, Ash, you have done this. You barter, you exchange mixtapes, mix CDs,
uh-huh.
Right?
I also exchanged guitar lessons for tattoos.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And in the past, I've exchanged services too for other people's services. And
yep.
And I think that's a really great way to be for any of us, even now today, because it gets rid of the money.
My mother barters.
Yeah. Gets rid of the money dependency. And then we're also able to, I can have something that I would like and I can give you something that you would like. So that's
I think bartering, I think that on the other side, once we all, I was going to say croak, but we're not going to because there's no death. But
well, you will. The physical body will definitely end, but you will not end.
But it's not.
Anyway. How do I know this, you ask? Well, I just do. And you'll have to be satisfied with that.
Because I think that, anyway, what was I saying?
You're talking about croaking.
Oh, yeah. I think on the other side, it should just be bartering. Like, I'll deliver you a pizza if you pluck my eyebrows.
There you go. Well, there's your future that you can perhaps look forward to, but you've got a lot of living to do here first.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I love about bartering is that it's exchanging goods and services for mutual benefit. Right? That's I think, the key is mutual benefit. Everybody's mm-hmm. happy. Nobody's feeling ripped off. People are happy. Okay, you know, you wax my eyebrows and I'll build you a bookshelf, right?
Wow.
You like that?
Yeah.
You know, and if someone says building a bookshelf is worth more than waxing eyebrows, but I'm satisfied with that exchange, that's all that matters, is that right. I'm satisfied with the exchange, that I don't get somebody else involved saying, you're getting ripped off.
Yeah, that's true.
And that has been, as I said, it's still used today, and it has been used throughout in place of money since the beginning of time. And then we went to commodities brokering in about 10,000 BC, and that was basic common needs and items were exchanged, like, and mostly livestock. But they were also using seeds, salt, tobacco, and tea for exchanging. So that was their money. There was, you know, I've got a sheep and you've got some tea that I really would like to have. So let's do an exchange. And then 2000 years ago was 2000 BC was when banks actually started to originate, because for a small fee for deposit deposit in temples and palaces in Mesopotamia offered safe storage of valuables like grain, livestock, and precious metals. Then we come to...
I want cats.
12,000. 12, huh?
Cats.
You want to exchange
cats?
Wouldn't
it be awesome if someone could just barter cats? Like, I could just keep getting cats all the time, and I could be giving people some guitar lessons.
You really do sound like a crazy cat lady right now.
Oh.
1200 BC, we started using shells. The cowrie shell was used as currency throughout Asia, the South Pacific, and up until very recently, actually, in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Then 1000 BC, we have metal money making uh-huh. its way into our currency, uh-huh. bronze and copper copies of the cowrie shells, as well as monies shaped in the form of tools, were used extensively in China, uh-huh. and later developed into crude round coins with holes at the center, which could be strung together as change. And I remember seeing these in ancient museums, the whole coins. And 700 BC, finally, we get metal coins. So before we had metal money, then we had metal coins, and then they start appearing in modern-day Turkey, which was Lydia, and made of electrum, which was a natural mixture of gold and silver.
All I know is I want more of it, more money.
And then leather money came in 100 BC, and Old Testament coins are around 600 to 450 BC. They're Persian and Jewish, the shekel. The New Testament coins from 0 to 100 AD were the Jewish lepton, and the Greek silver drachma, and the Roman copper, and the Roman denarius. I remember studying that in university. I liked ancient history. I still do, and I remember studying that coins. And then it wasn't actually till recently, paper notes were first introduced in China in 900 AD, and they were actually lasting more than five centuries before severe overproduction and inflation made them redundant.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1600 AD, we get paper money. 1700 AD, we get banknotes.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the 1816s and onward to 1930 that we had the gold standard. And then the 1920s introduced credit cards, and the 1960s introduced ATMs. Yeah. The first ATM machine was in 1967, installed in London at Barclays Bank.
Okay.
And, of course, we're avid fans of the ATM now. And in the 1980s, it was the beginning of the electronic funds transfer point of sale, or Interac, if you're here in Canada, that was introduced to allow users to withdraw their cash from businesses at the same time that they purchased their goods. So they weren't having to carry cash. They could suddenly have a card to do that for them. And then now, 1990s, our most recent, what started is Internet shopping and banking. So we have come a long way, baby, but not so much. You think about prehistory and how we use money. It wasn't until very recently that we started to actually get dependent on banks and the banking systems and using credit cards, ATM machines, you know, all of our Interact and our point of purchase cards mm-hmm. and whatnot. So it's interesting, even just the that most of the money like our awareness of money and how we use money currently is very recent experiences of it and how in its forms. I just thought it was really interesting. I find the history of money really quite interesting because, you know, we each rely, whether it's individuals, you know, on our economic standpoint, let's just say, or if we are actually a country, you know, where we have an economy that we're concerned about and our, you know, spending and whatnot, and worldwide, we're all very dependent on each other. And we saw that in the Depression in the 1930s, and we also saw it recently with you know, even more, where they don't like to call it depression, but back in around 2008, that's when we were really kind of in a bit of a pickle worldwide, economy-wise. But we're just going to talk about personal ideas and expressions. I guess I wanted to sort of link the spirituality of money into our even just our individual lives and how we view money in a spiritual way, and if we do, in fact, if we can do that.
Yes, we can. But here's my question. Here's the question I was excited to ask you on the air.
Oh, all right.
Do you feel that it is correct? Here, it's a two-part question.
All right.
Do you feel it is correct that as someone who can basically help people, like, say, be a psychic or a medium, and...
Or a healer.
Or a healer, yeah. Do you believe that it is right to charge for services? If so, how much, and what's too much?
Well, this is a question I think everybody out there has often asked. If they are self-employed and you have a service, whether it is a psychic service or a healing service, or you deliver drachmas?
What's a drachmas?
That's the ancient coin. Were you not paying attention?
I zoned out a bit, but I think I got most of it.
Ah, see, I was testing you. Anyway, that's a question that's actually come up in the spiritual community that I've been a part of in the past, and also I think for each and every one of us, whether, as I said, doesn't matter what it is that we're doing, we always want to put a value on it, because it's for me, the ultimate thing is that it has to be a fair exchange of services.
Uh-huh.
So if I am providing a service to the person receiving the service, I have to be equally satisfied
mm-hmm.
that I am fairly being compensated, as he or she has to feel
mm-hmm.
that they're receiving something, that they're not getting shoddy, anything that doesn't make them feel mm-hmm. really great, that they've done a good thing. Now, there's nothing worse than feeling like you've been ripped off. And I'm sure everybody listening has had that experience of actually being ripped off. I've had that experience of being ripped off. Sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's not. For example, when you purchased your iPhone the 3,
oh, yeah.
off of Craigslist, and had a really good feeling about the young man, but the phone didn't perform as you would like to. I don't feel I honestly don't feel that was intentional on his part.
I don't either.
Now, you don't know. We're taking a risk when we're buying something used. We don't know. I mean, everything breaks. They've created things now. They make things to purposely break, you know, so that we have to keep consuming. Majority of companies don't allow, you know, things to have a shelf life of too long, because they need the constant income coming in.
Yeah.
So, you know, so a phone or anything is going to have a shelf life. It's going to have a point where it's not going to last as long. And, of course, depending on the treatment. But that case I didn't feel was a rip-off, but there are actually times when I've felt that I've been ripped off.
Oh, me too. Like, there's times when I feel
purposely,
really good, like when I got my latest phone, my iPhone
yes.
4 that I got.
Yes.
That was a really good deal, because I got an iPhone 4 for, I don't remember, $180 or something.
I don't remember.
But
you felt good. It was whatever
I felt
dollar
good.
Value you paid.
And then when I bought the computer for you,
yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, that's awesome. Like, what a freaking sweet deal. And I'm like, okay, I haven't seen anything like this, like good quality but I figured that who I bought it from was really, like, he was a man with kids and a wife, and, like, he seemed really nice.
And you're not meeting him at a Skytrain station. You're going to his house,
yeah,
right?
And, but, I mean, I bought it and the charger didn't work, but lucky we had some more, thanks, Dad. And the internet is not working, so, like, the wireless, so, like, I'm thinking, but at the same time, when I called him back and talked to him, he definitely, like, he didn't know.
Well, so the whole point is that, again, we always take a risk when we buy something used, whether it's a car or a phone, you know, or a piece of clothing or a piece of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand, like, buyer beware. That's something that in the retail industry, it's always that, buyer beware, right? It's not so much that we like to believe that we're paying good money and receiving something in good money. And there's times in our lives for all of us where we get sweet freaking deals. Mm-hmm. And there's times when it's just, you know, it's okay. You know, it's not anything to excited about. We love deals.
I love
deals. Who doesn't love a deal?
I'm Ukrainian. My mother ingrained this in me, money.
But why is that Ukrainian? Because I'm also, my mother is
Ukrainian.
Yeah,
and we all like deals. Look at it. Well, look at it.
But my situation is a little bit different because I grew up with a single mother who was not very wealthy at all. She was basically raising two children on her own income without any help from my father because he was gone, quite literally. He was gone.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I think the ingrain there for me would be, you know, be thrifty because you don't have a lot. You have to really be careful with what you do have.
Oh, of course. But it's Ukrainian, too. It is. You got to admit, like, we learned from our
ancestors. I
heard it
was Scottish, but here we are, you know, again, generalizations. I have Scottish friends, and they're not, you know.
I'm Scottish.
Cheap.
But I'm not really Scottish.
Well, you're whatever you are.
I'm overtired.
You're overtired and silly.
But yeah, we're really excited about, actually being live again today and talking about money, because it's, by the way, if you're listening, tweet us a question if you have one.
I haven't even advertised this. I apologize.
I haven't advertised
it either. Out of it.
But we've been so busy. But
we'd
like to welcome your calls. Like, if you want to call in and say, "Hey, yo," I totally rhymed there. "Hey, yo, I really like your
show.
You are awesome." Yeah.
So let's just talk about the spirituality of money then. Now, you asked me, you
first
started...
First, I got to give them the number.
Oh, there you go.
So the number to call in, if you would love to, plus we're going to give you a free MP3 of your choice of any of our songs. If you call in, 888-627-6008. Call in. It'll be a blast. You'll have a really great time. You know, we'll even give you some free things. And, I mean, can you argue with free? No.
Well, it depends what you're getting for free. I guess it depends how you can argue that.
I love free. I take a free, like, used pillow.
I don't think so.
Yes, I would. I could use
That's
it for
not
something.
True. We're driving today and we passed a really rickety old desk. You never asked to pick that up.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because that's too big. I have no space for a big desk. I already have a desk. If there's something free, totally.
Well, I don't know, Ash. I think that you wouldn't want a mangy-looking pillow for free.
Well, it depends who used it.
Maybe if it was... Oh, listen to this. Maybe what? If it was Mick Jagger's used pillow, you might like it for free.
Are you kidding?
No.
I'm sorry, Mick. I'm not a huge fan.
God bless 70-year-old Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. Just turned 70. That's a long career. But we digress. Just talking about the spirituality of money, talking about what to decide. I think, again, it's imperative that, like everything, money needs to be, there needs to be transparency. If, for example, we're talking to a woman today, because I was looking at her jewelry, and I asked her where she got it, and she said originally from New York, and she had some really great pieces, like really nice stones, like she'd had genuine gemstones, and I was also, you know, silver is always iffy, so you're kind of asking about the silver and about the origin of the jewelry. But what she had mentioned to us is that she paid well over $4,000 for jewelry that she had been promised that was stamped with silver, 925. And so she trusted that it was indeed silver. She buys all this jewelry. She starts to sell it retail level. And she's told by someone who sees it that she has been ripped off because it's not silver. That's not real. That's not real silver. It's merely plated. She's been hoodwinked. And she was sharing actually today, because we're talking about money, sharing how that was really quite upsetting to her, because she said not only will she never buy, obviously, from that person again, but it unfortunately kind of puts a dent in her trust and her ability to trust.
I actually was just texted a question right now.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Not to interrupt your story, but my dear pal Brent, he's taken some guitar lessons from me. He's pretty cool. And he has texted in a question. He says, Ash, should we feel ripped off buying concert tickets? Pink tickets in October from really good scalper are $450 to $500 a piece.
For Pink?
For Pink.
Well, scalpers, that's a whole other issue.
I say, Brent, yes, that is a ripoff. I wouldn't, like, even my favorite band ever in the world, which would probably be, like, but we obviously can't have that.
Yep, gotta wait for that one.
Yeah, but, you know, or it would be something like, I don't know, who knows? It would be like a triple bill of, like, really great bands, like Green River and Scratch Acid and things like that, and Bikini Kill or something like that, right? I would pay max $200 to go to that show, and that is asking an unbelievably large amount of money that I would seriously never forgive myself for spending. However, if you really love something, then it's sometimes worth parting with your money because you can really benefit emotionally from certain experiences, or it can really make you feel like things are better than they are, to be quite frank, because I've had people who, like even some of my students, who are so depressed, and then they go to a concert, and then all of a sudden they want to play a guitar, they want to write songs. So I say you have to really choose wisely. If you're really into something and, you know, you have the money to part with, then, you know, go for it. If it's something that you feel, like, just really do a checklist for yourself. Like, think, okay, is this going to benefit me? Will these memories, you know, be great enough to spend $500 on? Things like that. It's all about inspiration, and it's all about, you know, just really feeling what resonates with you. So if Pink for $500 resonates with you, amen. But if it doesn't, then I say take your money and run.
But I think energetically that when someone is doing that, that energetically they're actually causing harm to themselves. And also, well, because
that's... the scalpers?
Yes.
Yeah, the scalpers.
That's what I mean. I'm actually... And for those of you who want to be my Facebook friend, I'm under Cheryl Catherine Smith on Facebook. Ask to be my friend. I posted this yesterday, and it came from Funky Finds. And it's about what we're talking about here. When buying an artist or maker, you're buying more than just an object or a painting. You're buying hundreds of hours of failures and experimentation. You are buying days, weeks, and months of frustration and moments of pure joy. You are not just buying a thing. You are buying a piece of heart, part of a soul, a moment of someone's life. Most importantly, you're buying the artist more time to do something that they're passionate about. So in that regard, as a musician, I think that it's imperative that we put some money out to support each other's art. I think, though, that if you read, I don't know, Brent, if you're aware of who Bob Lefsetz is, L-E-F-S-E-T-Z. He has a newsletter. He's a former entertainment lawyer and down in California, and he's actually quite a well-known and quite revered in the musicians industry writer. He does a regular blog, and he speaks about this, and he speaks very directly. He's got lots of blogs directed at Live Nation and all different, like even the, you know, the price of tickets. And he recently, I found out, who was it who just charged? Kid Rock. Decided because there's just too much. The promoters are making all the money. The musicians make nothing.
I'm psychic. I read your mind.
I know you are psychic. And so, anyways, Kid Rock recently put on a concert where he forcibly told the promoters and the venue and everything involved that they would not charge more than $20 per ticket. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to remember when, like I was saying previously with any retail, is you've got the middlemen. And so the more middlemen you have, obviously the more money you're going to be charged because everybody wants to make some money off of what mm-hmm. they're selling. So scalpers, though, they're not really middlemen. They're actually just kind of, sounds nasty, but a bit bottom feeders because I think it's wrong in the first place for them to be able to purchase some as many tickets as they get a hold of. And I know that Ticketmaster and other ticket dispensers are trying to put a stop to that. They've implemented some changes, and but they still get around it somehow.
Oh, they always do.
And personally, the way I feel, I wouldn't give $500 to a scalper for a ticket. If it was something, I guess, that what, okay, here's a secret that I've not learned from people. maybe not such a secret, but if you really want to go see something, go right at the beginning when it starts and then wait for the scalpers to go lower, lower and lower. I knew somebody who got into Bruce Springsteen for like $20 or something because he waited.
Wow.
He waited until the show had started. And then, of course, the tickets don't have as much value, mm-hmm. and so they want to get rid of them, very much like the flowers that we went through today. So there's something. If you again, this is about faith and trust as well. It's kind of bringing spirituality into our money and into our lives, and trusting that, hey, I'm going to make my way over to the Pink concert. I'm going to stand around until it starts, and I'll wait and see if I am meant to see that concert, and if I'm indeed meant to, and it's part of my life experience that would enhance me better because mm-hmm. I'm connected to Source, all that is, then it'll present itself, and it does. Oh, this is great. We got some Twitter things happening. So now I have a Twitter question. Oh my God. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian are spending $750,000 on gold-plated toilets. Your thoughts on this? My thoughts? That's ridiculous.
that makes me want to puke in them.
This is the thing that I find very disconcerting because, studies show that the majority of the world's wealth are owned by a minority of persons. And I think it's so low. I'd say this is just off the top of my head. It's like 94% of the world's wealth are owned, I think, by 3% of the world's population.
You told me like
something like that.
And
I'm again, I'm only going from my memory. I don't have it written down here. So you guys can check up those stats, mm-hmm. but it's pretty damn close. And the thing that bothers me most about this is why? Because when you have someone like Kardashian and Kanye West able to spend $750,000 on gold toilets, I think that's extreme. I think that's ridiculous. I think that they should be, quite frankly, ashamed of themselves. When you have people that are starving, you've got people that are homeless, you've got people that $750,000 could help a shelter in Los Angeles. It could help so much. Who needs to sit on a gold friggin' toilet?
Because their asses are so much better than ours. I love their shit.
But,
it's awesome.
It's all fallacy. No, at all.
Ask Janice what she thinks about it.
Well,
I bet she'll call in after that. Hey, what do you think about Kanye and Kimye sitting on their gold toilets taking shits holding hands? like great. Oh yeah, I want to be just like them. Yes.
And the thing is that I think that when you have money, you have a really huge responsibility, and most people don't think that. And the sad thing is that most people who my understanding and what I see, although I'm going to say this, Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, cool, wonderful people with money. Oprah, cool, wonderful mm-hmm. lady with money. Ellen, cool, wonderful lady with money.
I love Ellen.
Yes, there's a lot of people that are actually giving back. So they have a lot of wealth, and they're actually sharing it appropriately instead of just using them for tax mm-hmm. shelters or tax write-offs. Because these are people who have heart. Now, most people, what I find, that have a lot of money or who have a lot of fame, don't have a lot of heart because they've fallen into the illusion that they – in fact, deserve it because they're better than the rest of us, and that is not true.
I agree.
That's not true at all. But and the sad thing is a lot of people around these people will believe it, and they just, there's a lot of sycophantic behavior, and it's just, it's really, I've seen it, I've been around it, I've experienced it, and it's really sad because it just, to me, it's actually kind of crazy, quite, yeah, it's kind of crazy, but
there are many, and you know
and
what?
Many crazy pipes in the sewer system of craziness?
Yeah, there are. And speaking of awesomeness, whenever Dawn is ready, we're going to run an ad for you.
Yeah, so here we go. One of our ads. Thanks, Dawn.
In the field of balanced, intuitive healing and information, Cheryl Catherine Smith is one of a kind. Not only is she a musician, licensed spiritual minister, and co-host of the radio show Hologram Radio on BBS Radio, but she is also a sought-out and skilled intuitive medium and spiritual counselor. She takes you beyond the scope of space and time into firmly believing not only in yourself, but also the firm knowing in the continuation of life. There is no death, there is nothing to fear, and we are not alone. With years of experience in healing, health, ministry, and metaphysics, rest assured your time together will be everything you hoped. Half hour or full hour readings available by phone, email, or Skype. Email for info and bookings, Cheryl_CatherineSmith@hotmail.com.
Hey, welcome back. That was our CCS advert. Don was telling us while we were listening to that, that we're experiencing some trouble with the internet. We apologize. We have reconnected. Hopefully, we will not be cut out. So I hope that you didn't miss any of Ash's brilliance.
Thank you. I hope you haven't, too. And in response to that comment from Brent about the pink tickets, he says, but we can't always get tickets from Ticketmaster. They're sold out. So there is no choice. Spent $450 each for Neil Diamond Row 9 last year. We have to pay to play. And that is true sometimes. Like, I mean, it's really rough, actually, because if you're really into a lot of music that's quite popular or, like, the classics, there's things that people are going to pay money. Like, seriously, if there is a demand for it, people will buy it. So, I mean, to me, like, I couldn't in good conscience be Neil Diamond, first of all. And
but no, don't put it on the artist.
No, I'm not. Like,
he doesn't. He's not always aware of that. The artist doesn't always know.
But I'm sure that they do because there is a backlash and people writing in and, you know, hearing about that. So even in some way, there are ways for artists to find out how much they're charging at concerts. And of course, sometimes it's beyond their control completely. But I don't know. I think that's where you have to pick and choose. If it's something that you really, really feel that you need to go to, then, you know, suck it up and pay it. Like, I've done that before. I've paid too much for concert tickets before. And I'm glad I went. So it's just a choice of almost, like, intuition and dedication. So if you're really dedicated, you'll pay it. And I don't know. I'm still not sold on the idea of spending so much money. I would just rather put on the albums and create my own concert in the house. I don't know.
So I mentioned Bob Lefsetz, and I just actually, because I know that he's spoken, written extensively on this, and again, I would encourage you, Brent, to check out his newsletters, and you can actually Google them, because I just did. And in January 31st, 2012, he did a blog called Hierarchy of Power, and he said, don't hate the artist, hate the ticket master. So basically, he's saying that the act, which is the artist, is returning to the classic rock era, where the acts dictated to the labels as opposed to vice versa. But the story here now is that there's no labels, that there's a bunch of top 40 acts, essentially employees of the major labels and everything, but benefits, like all the acts are independent contractors, so the act is in control. So that means that they set the ticket prices. They refuse to do an all-in ticket. They like you to hate Ticketmaster and it fees, but it really is the promoter's fees. So what it is on the act. You're right. So I did it backwards. It's Ticketmaster you're supposed to don't hate Ticketmaster. It's the acts that are dictating it based on promotions. That's why Kid Rock said $20. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that Kid Rock is less of an act than Pink is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that we're so enamored of hierarchy in this culture. We like caste. We like to sort of set people above and below. Look at the monarchy. Look at even certain acts. We've got A-list, B-list, D-list acts. You know, whether it's in music or in acting or in comedy, the comedians are really pretty ruthless to each other with regards to that. Well, you know, you're an A comic and I'm a D-list, whatever. Kathy Griffin had a short, I think, reality show talking about that. I don't think that Kid Rock is any less talented or any less viable than Pink. Now, some people would, because some people think Kid Rock, they don't like his music, they like Pink's music. I mean, again, it's about personal choice.
I don't like them.
You don't like who?
Them.
It's not nice. You love them, but you don't music.
I actually think Pink is really cool.
I think she's super cool.
I really like Pink. I'm not, like, a big fan of the kind of pop music stuff, but I really think she's awesome.
Yeah, and I think, and what Ash says is right. I mean, but again, just... instead of being victims to all of this and say, well, I don't have a choice, I can't do something different, try something different. Be very wary, though, of the Craigslist tickets, because we're talking about that.
StubHub.
Yeah, go StubHub.
Go StubHub, because it's all tickets being sold by, that, like, it's all really legit. And, Brent, if you haven't checked out StubHub, do it. I got tickets for my mom to see a show a few years ago, and they were completely sold out. And I ended up getting two tickets for $62.
Yeah, and this is what Bob Lessetz has to say. If the price is high, it's greed. If you can't get a good ticket at a fair price, for example, if the scalpers eat them all up, it's because the act is afraid of pissing you off by approving high prices and is probably scalping its own tickets to boot.
Oh, probably.
So beware of that, too. Like, you know, unfortunately, not everybody is honest and transparent in this world, and some people are so much fear-based that they are in greed, and they think that they have to have more and more and more and more. And it's not reality, but it's their fear. And unfortunately, as I said, this world is very fear-driven, and money is part of it. Money is probably the biggest mm-hmm. part of the fear-driven nature of this world. But what I think, even personally, what it is for me is getting out of fear, getting more into trust, and, for example, having faith and trust that you are supposed to go to Pink. And if that's the case, have you ever prayed about it? I know that might sound kind of crazy, but you might want to just say, hey,
if the word prayer scares you, really connect with the universe.
Yeah, and reach out and with a thought and say, I would really like this to happen. I think that it would be a good thing for me, and I think it would be a good thing for Pink to have me in the audience. Can you make this happen?
Exactly.
Reveal the miracles without having to pay $500. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, we really love your tweeted and texted questions. So if anybody wants to call in, I'll give you the numbers again. 888-627-6008. If you get a moment and you're listening to the show and feel inspired, why not call in? It'll be a really, really, really great time.
That's right. We promise you a really, really great time. The tweet questions are fun.
Yeah, we like
so
your tweeted questions.
So feel free to tweet to @hollow-gram, or I guess you could do Cheryl Catherine Smith altogether. Cheryl Catherine. Ashes are protected, so it's harder for you to tweet her.
I like to remain hidden in the shadows.
She's hidden in the shadows, counting her money.
I got bites everywhere.
Honey.
I know. I have mosquito bites.
So I'm also want to address that being afraid of the word prayer. I mean, it's not a religious thing, although most people say or think it is. Prayer is merely our connecting to something else. For example, if we have a situation where we're just really low and we just go, help me, that's a prayer. And I can't stress more the importance in my own life and experience of prayer. And there's a lot of things that have happened because I've reached out and I've been open-minded to not thinking that it's only me who makes things happen, that it's a beautiful series of events that are co-created by so many things that miracles happen. So be open-minded to asking for some help. And also reach out to actual your friends and family, too, and hey, or ask people for – the best thing we can do is ask questions and ask for help. Because it gets us out of our own thinking and our own belief that we have to do everything on our own, because that's not in fact true.
We bought tickets to see AFI.
That is correct. We are going to see AFI with Ash's mom. Ash's mom.
Ash's mom.
I don't know if she's calling in.
I think she'll probably call in.
I don't know. We're running out of time, Ash's mom.
Ash.
If you're
mom.
Listening to us, would you like to call in and we can play your cool, funky intro song?
Yeah, isn't that song cool, everybody? Whoever's heard it. Like,
played it once. We had our show 4 weeks ago. It was our introduction to our theme song for Ash's mom.
That was a great weekend that we had. We had it off, and we just ate Taco Del Mar and watched murder shows.
Yes.
And then you had
that
a,
was very
we
uplifting,
both had a sleepover,
wasn't it?
At my parents' house, and there's this huge, huge, like, double two-person couch, but, like, it's like two couches, right? So we each took one couch and just watched murder shows and ate burritos.
Did we eat burritos?
Yeah, you had a taco salad, though.
That's right. I didn't eat a burrito.
And then Travis and
this is about transparency and honesty.
Well, I forgot.
I didn't have a burrito.
You had a bite of one, but you had taco salad and a quesadilla.
And what we mean by murder shows is there's the reality shows about unsolved murders.
Yeah.
And like the forensics and criminology.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
That was fun.
It was a delight.
Yeah.
It was a delight.
And you know what it takes to get Taco Del Mar? Money. And if Taco Del Mar is listening, really, guys, you are so deliciously amazing, yet so stupidly overpriced. Like, do I really want to pay almost $8 for a burrito when I can get a whole huge package of bean and cheese burritos in the States for $2.99 for 12 of them?
It's
Ask
true.
Me that again.
Taco
like,
Del Mar
sure.
is pretty pricey.
And sure, it's a great burrito, and, you know, you can't get all the stuff, you know, like in a frozen burrito. But come on. I really don't understand how to handle you. Oh, look. And I think we're going to play that famous song that Dawn's going to put on called Ash's Mom.
It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom.
Where?
It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom.
And she is indeed on line one. Hello, Janice, Ash's mom.
Hello, how are you guys? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you doing,
Ash's mom?
I'm doing very well. I've been listening to your thing, and the Kardashian toilet seat thing has just got my blood boiling.
How do you feel about that?
I think people that to me is an insult to anybody that's homeless, anybody that's hungry, anybody that needs any kind of help, people that have lost their homes in the tornado. And all the tornadoes in the States, and for them to spend $750,000 on two toilet seats, you know, like, oh, it just makes me sick.
I cannot.
Like it is. It's a
show. Like I really loathe them now.
You know what? That to me is a slap in the face for anybody that's suffering. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to do something like that, you don't publicize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then we wouldn't know, and you know what I mean. Like you don't brag about something like that. That's that stupid.
Exactly.
Right?
It is stupid.
And that is stupid. My God, people should stand outside their house with placards saying, you know,
be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, but remember how
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, are you ashamed of your? You know what it should say? Are you ashamed of yourselves yet?
But you know what? What about that guy, the Kardashian guy who shot Kyle in the head?
Oh, Scott. What's her name's husband?
Yeah.
Let me sound like we're talking about soap operas.
Well, the thing is that...
And how about Phyllis on Young and Restless? She's not going to be there anymore.
Really?
She fell down some stairs.
Well, you just made
she's going to be in a coma for the next 10 years.
You've made a valid point that soap operas are just as real as reality TV, and I put them in air quotes. There you go. But that
yeah.
is sad. That is sad. But you know what's even sadder is that it's the public that are causing them celebrity, that are making them wealthy, so that they can buy
yes.
something.
$50,000 toilets.
I know, and that Kanye, I tell you, I hope you're listening, Kanye. I hope you're listening.
What do you want to say to Kanye?
Say it.
Kanye, grow up and do what your mother would want you to do, and that is not buying $750,000 toilet seats. There.
Yeah, but what do you have to say to Kim Kardashian, okay?
And you, oh, well, that's another one. Her, anyway. with that $750,000, what if they put it into an education fund for underprivileged kids that can't go to school? How many kids can you educate on that?
Yeah.
Tens.
How many children can you feed, and how many homeless people can you give shelter to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think ultimately that it just shows that we do feel collectively, Janice, I'll include you, that we are responsible for the money that we have. And when we have excess, because you don't need to have $50 billion, nobody needs that much money. You can easily live, everybody on this planet, I heard that if everybody on the planet, if they distributed the wealth equally to everyone on this planet currently, everyone would have $1 million. And we could all live. Yeah, we could all live quite nicely on that, and it would all be good. Everybody would be clothed. Everybody would have shelter. Everybody would, you know, if a person suffers from mental illness, and which is a lot of the homeless situation, then we could, you know, they could have a home or a shelter to go to. I mean, it could all work out quite nicely, but because of greed, we don't have that situation, unfortunately.
I know, and I look at these people that have like $4 billion in the bank, and that's money that's never going to be used. It's like a number on a piece of paper, and then that number is transferred on a piece of paper to their children, and by then it grows, you know, to $8 billion, and then the same thing again. That money's not going to be used. They might use $1 billion or $2 billion to live off of it. And it's transferred from generation to generation, so it's never seen the light of day, that cash. And people, you know, I mean, that is a sin to hoard money like that and not to do anything with it.
Of course it is.
Very much. Thank you. I love how you express, and we're so on the same page, Janice. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel the same way we do about the Kardashian toilet situation.
Well, you know what? That's just a slap in the face.
Don't tape their shows anymore.
Well, I can still tape their shows.
Well, I personally don't watch it anymore. I just can't watch
I still like Honey Boo Boo, because you know what? All that money's going to a good thing. Like, they're putting their kids through college. They're a cool family.
Yeah, they are. You know, a little backwards and stuff like that, but who are we to say if they're backwards or not? Maybe we are, you know?
That's right.
You know what?
Maybe we're so caught up of eating off dishes and mixing our food with a spoon, and they use their hands and eat out of the same pan. They're all alive. They're functioning good.
You know what, though?
Right?
I wasn't a far cry away from the actual Honey Boo Boo when I was that age.
What do you mean?
I was a beauty queen.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, you were.
And I talked with my stomach.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, we could have been friends.
Yes, you could have been, but Honey Boo Boo hasn't won a trophy like you.
I'm sure she's won way bigger ones than me.
I don't think so.
Well, are you
saying don't think so.
Are you suggesting that Honey Boo Boo's future could be your current reality?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
On Hologram Radio Show, folks.
Well, thank you for calling in. We love you, and
we love
your calls.
Thank you, Janice.
Okay, love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, well, it's time for us to say goodbye, to say sayonara, to wish you all the best and the highest in money, that you will feel
that turned into quite an interesting show.
That you have a fair exchange when you spend your money, and everyone's happy, the person purchasing and the purchase the person who was giving the purchase. I think that's what it really comes down to, is that everyone's satisfied. No one feels that they're lacking, that everyone is satisfied. And also the problem of the world's wealth being in two little places. We got to change that.
And remember that financial abundance isn't as far away as you think. Remember to manifest and remember to bring it towards you. Remember to act like it's already yours and just pray to the universe and to whatever entity or what's the other word? Deity. That you feel you need to pray to, and just be cool, man.
It's tough for all of us. And you know, the thing is as Ash is a teacher and the things I've done, we've often offered discounts when people, I think that's another thing, is recognize when people are in need,
yeah,
and be kind and be flexible. So we thank Don and we thank Doug Newsom for being so great here.
Thanks,
on BBS.
Don, for doing
and
the show
thank
tonight.
You all for listening. Bless you with abundance. Kiss a tree. Bye.
Kiss it.